Appreciate the introduction. Good morning. It's nice to be back in Murray, Kentucky. It's been a while since Holly and I together were back here. We lived here from middle of 96 until the fall of 98, working at youth minister over at Glendale Road. But nice to be with you guys this morning. Let me try to take a lot of material, and we're going to keep it limited to about 35 minutes or so. Appropriate disclosure. This is going to be a very real look at what culture is telling us about sex. I would rate it as a very strong PG-13 presentation. So if you didn't know that that's what we're talking about this morning and you're sitting in here and had no clue, there are doors. One, two, three, at least four sets of doors, and maybe there are some up here. I'm not sure. You are welcome to make use of them. My commitment with Ultimate Escape and the role that I fill, a lot of teaching and counseling services around, typically around sexuality issues and intimacy and relationship, is to be willing to be straightforward. We're not going to beat around the bush. We're going to use terms. We're going to say words in here this morning that maybe you don't normally say in a church building or in this church building. I don't know. But we'll do it from a very respectful understanding. God is the author of sexuality. Anytime we talk openly about sex, it can bring up all kinds of different emotions, from excitement, glad, to fear, hurt, shame, guilt, depending on what our experience has been, depending on whether we grew up in families where you don't talk about that, or churches where you don't talk about that, or we grew up in families where we do talk openly about it. Depending on what, you know, where on the scale of healthy you are, being in here this morning potentially could bring up some emotions. And I would just encourage you to recognize it if it happens and know what it is. What is it that you're feeling? If there's some anxiety, some discomfort, some, I can't believe he's talking about that. Why? Is there a message buried in there somewhere that sex is dirty or sex is wrong or sex is a secret or sex is something you're not supposed to talk about? Because none of those are accurate. None of those are biblical. But that's what we get sometimes. And especially if you grow up in a family and a culture where you don't talk about it, nobody says you're not supposed to talk about it. They just don't. That belief that there's something wrong with it or that it's a bad thing, that belief can develop. So my goal for not just this morning, but through the course of the next few days, my goal is to help us explore in a very healthy way the complete vision that God has for this wonderful gift that he gave us called sexuality. And we'll look specifically at that vision on Tuesday night. Is that teens and college, I think at the University Center. But we'll look very openly at here's this wonderful thing God made when it comes to sex. But this morning, we're looking at the other end of that spectrum. Here is the way our culture tells us to use sexuality. And so I just want to be very open. Again, you know, understand that this is a respectful look, but it's an honest look. And our culture has twisted some things that God has to say about sex. I need two volunteers who like chocolate milk, no food allergies. Ultimate Escape does not take liability for any reactions to food that you consume during an Ultimate Escape presentation. Do I have two people who love chocolate milk and aren't allergic to any kind of food things that would keep you from enjoying a nice chocolate milk? One, two, don't take too long. We've only got 30 minutes. One and two. All right, perfect. Come on up. We're going to have a chocolate milk drinking contest, by the way. So if you would plant yourself right here, I'm going to open up and we've got some on ice, nice cold chocolate milks. There you go. Here you go. And I've got one. And what, yeah, most people do. Most people start to shake it up. Again, that's just kind of a normal thing. When I say go, you're going to open up that lid, and the first one to finish wins. It's just a chocolate milk drinking contest. You know, chocolate. I looked for purity because my favorite has always been purity chocolate milk. It's a Nashville market thing. I couldn't find it here. So we've got what Kroger had available this morning. But ready? One, two, three, go. I love chocolate milk. I used to go through two or three of these a day. How'd it taste?
A little different than the chocolate milk I'm used to, but pretty good.
So you're not putting Kroger out there as the normal chocolate milk?
I use Hershey's syrup.
How's yours, by the way? Pretty good stuff, isn't it? I'm curious, can I borrow your bottle for just a second? Uh-huh. Do you smell it first?
No.
Don't you look at the date?
No.
April 23rd, so it's in date, but smell that for a second.
I trusted you. It's a little different.
It is. It's definitely here. Let me...
Uh-huh.
Second opinion. Mm-hmm. It's a little different. What does that smell... What's it smell like? Strawberry.
Strawberry.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay. Ah, you tricked me.
Strawberry banana. Strawberry. Too many birthdays, okay? A blend of sweet potato, grape, apple, carrot, banana, strawberry, and red beet juice. A little different than chocolate milk.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it was chocolate milk, but there was also mixed in there a little something different. But it says right on the front, chocolate low-fat milk.
Yeah.
It's even got a little security seal.
I didn't even
look. Exactly. Because, hey, this guy gives me, and he says it's chocolate milk. And, I mean, he's the speaker. I trust him. Am I on target?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little illusion. I'll repent later. A little illusion to it. It says chocolate milk. I expect it's going to be chocolate milk. It tastes kind of, he's enjoying his chocolate milk. I expect it to, and it tastes kind of like chocolate milk, but it's a little different. It's not just, go ahead.
And you were hurrying, so I was trying to keep up with you.
There were multiple dynamics going on right up here at the moment. Again, confession time, mine only had about that much.
I thought so.
Sounds a little light over there, doesn't it? Thank you guys very much. Would you give them a hand? Fantastic job. The ultimate illusion. The ultimate drinking contest. The ultimate illusion. It says chocolate milk. He says he just bought it this morning. It looks like chocolate milk. It tastes kind of like chocolate, but it's not just chocolate milk. I'm going to use the term culture, but if we look in a spiritual context, recognize that it's Satan. Our culture has completely changed the makeup of sexuality. There is so much confusion in our world. Is it right or is it wrong? Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes it's a very honest question that the 13-year-old who is at the party and someone is saying, hey, you should do this. There's really nothing wrong with it. Well, in that moment, is it okay? Nobody's told me. I don't know. Is it right or is it wrong? Should I be okay with this? Everybody tells me I should be, but it doesn't feel, something about this just doesn't feel right. Is it sex? I did not have sex with that woman. Now, no politics in this. It's just a reality. When someone says, I didn't have sex, then we find out a lot of details about what they did. Well, was that sex or was that not sex? And take it away from that particular situation. When someone says, have you had sex? And you've done all kinds of different sexual behaviors, but you've never had sexual intercourse, and you don't know how to answer that question. Have I had sex or it's confusing. What am I? There are thoughts in my head. There are desires inside of me. There are things that interest me about somebody of the same sex. I'm in gym class. I'm in eighth grade and I'm watching this guy who's got a very athletic, chiseled cut kind of look to him, and I'm watching him change his clothes, and something about me is interested in that. Does that mean that I'm gay? Does it mean anything? Does it have anything to do with what I am? It's a confusing question. Why do I like that? Why is it that my mind thinks about that when I hear other people talking about this over here? How did I get this way? All of those are very legitimate questions. And we live in a culture that basically, shh, don't talk about that. many of us, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but if I did and you cooperated, my bet is it would be a lot of hands. Many of us grew up or are growing up in homes where nobody talks about that, sex. We just don't. And maybe we don't because we don't know how to as parents because our parents didn't. We haven't seen how you do that. It's very uncomfortable. And so we don't, not because we think we shouldn't. We just don't know how to. Wednesday night, we're going to take the whole session is designed for parents, whether that's parents of teens or parents of adult children who now have grandchildren, or you maybe you're a young couple, don't have children right now, but you're planning on having children. That whole presentation is how do I raise sexually healthy children? So we'll talk more about this don't talk thing on Wednesday night. But because we don't talk about it oftentimes in a healthy way, it can lead to a lot of confusion. What are the standards? Now, even if you take the Bible out of the girl's hand in the first picture, there is just a different look. I didn't put that in there because she's holding a Bible. I put that in there because of the way she presents herself. So if you can, just mentally erase the Bible right there. And you still have two attractive young ladies, but they are communicating very different things by their look and their dress. And what standard do we use to basically brand ourselves? And if you guys know, if you're a teen in here, I hope you understand what I mean when I say brand yourself, because all of you do it. You are your own brand. How you dress, how you act, who you hang around with, what you talk about, all of that, you're communicating what you are, who you are, this is me. That brand, what standard do you use to decide who you are and what you're going to present yourself or as? I want to take a few minutes and, okay, pretend you're from the planet Mars and you land in the United States of America and you're here for 24 hours. And you're just able to watch, from a bird's eye view, you're able to watch everything that's going on in our country when it comes to sexuality. After 24 hours, what would you leave? Oh, well, this is what sex is. This is what sex is about. That's what I want us to look at. Number one, I would say in our culture, sex is all about pleasure. I have here just a few covers of books that are available at your local bookstore. Whether you guys have a Borders, a Barnes & Noble, whether you shop at Amazon.com, wherever you go to buy books, these books are readily available. I just went in one day and stopped at, I think it was a Barnes & Noble, just went back to the human sexuality area and pulled some books and, okay, here's what I see. This is what sex apparently is in our culture. How to Give Her Absolute Pleasure. 5 minutes to orgasm. Now, there is a book one and book two across the bottom, 203 Ways to Drive a Man Wild in Bed, followed by book number two, 302 Advanced Techniques for Driving a Man Wild in Bed. And then my favorite up on the top, on my right-hand side up here at the front, How to Set His Thighs on Fire. Now, number one, obviously they're not talking about somebody's thighs, and I have never yet run across an individual who wanted to have his thighs set on fire. Every one of these books has something in common, and it all focuses on the pleasure. Just looking through what our culture puts out in educational books about sex, one would walk away thinking, wow, in this culture, the only thing sex has anything to do with is pleasure. Now, I am not in any way communicating that sex isn't supposed to be pleasurable or there's something wrong with focusing on the pleasure of sex. God made it to feel very good. And again, Tuesday night, we'll talk about that. But that's not all that it's about. In our culture, it looks like that's all that it's about. Basically, your guide to getting satisfied. And the book is called Morgasm. You're kind of playing off the term orgasm. Definition of terms. The way God designed sex, sexual pleasure is something that typically builds. Now, depending on the person, it can go from 0 to 60, think your typical male stereotype here, 0 to 60 in about 2 seconds. For women, it may go 0 to 60 in about 2 days. Now, again, those are some stereotypes, and there are exceptions to that for certain. But, you know, in our culture, that's kind of the way we laugh about it. Okay, in that, when you get to 60, okay, kind of the highest point on the sexual response cycle here is called orgasm. It's the moment, the climax, the intense pleasure. There's some slang terms for it. We're going to use the scientific term here. But here's the book. Think of Morgasm as the field guide to your lifelong sex journey. We answer your questions on everything, exclamation mark, and give you advice that will help you get and give the best orgasms of your life. Now again, that has just now reduced sex to a moment of pleasure. It's like the whole purpose of sex is the orgasm. And I would just say, if we're looking honestly at our culture, that's what our culture reduces sex to. Magazine covers. Walk into Kroger every few months with my little tablet in hand, and I just write down the title of some of the article names that are on the front of the magazines. Now, these are knee-high to a grasshopper. You say that in Murray, Kentucky? Okay. Your average 4-year-old, 5-year-old may not be able to read real well, but that's what they see when they're walking through the line at the grocery store. This is the stuff that's, and again, there's an intention to this. There's a reason they put that at that level. Not to jump into what we're going to talk about this afternoon, but just know that once you've got a customer, you've got a customer for life. So if I can interest little 4- and 5-year-old in what's on the front of this magazine from a sexuality standpoint, when he's 10, he's going to be looking for more than this. And when he's 15 and 20 and got money to spend, he's going to be looking for a whole lot more than we're putting on the front of these magazines. Okay, enough about the advertisement for this afternoon. More, hotter, better, give the sex life that you're craving, the ultimate sex thrill, you can have it too, 31 sexy moves he just can't resist, a surprising trigger to his deepest sex cravings, and sex moves, this is my favorite one, sex moves so good you'll forget you're not flexible. Again, the focus of all of this is the pleasure. It's like there's nothing more to sex than just enjoying the moment of pleasure. Number two, I would say there are no boundaries. It's like anything you want, whatever your heart desires, that's perfectly fine. There is nothing to keep you from anything that you're interested in. There is a television series. This came, I don't know, probably the middle 90s or so, Temptation Island. Some of you may have run across the show. On Hulu, they've got kind of a description of here's what this TV show's about. Let me read you. Here is the basic synopsis of this television, kind of a reality show. Take 4 devoted young couples and transport them to an exotic island. When they get there, separate them for 12 days by sending them off to opposite ends of the paradise in the sun. Then, for good measure, surround the male partners with 13 beautiful single bikini-clad temptresses. And the women with 13 gorgeous, square-jawed guys, each handpicked to test their fidelity to the absolute limit. Do you hear the great boundaries in here so far? When you've done that, consider whether by the end of the experience, the same couples will still want to stroll off into the sunset together, or whether it's more likely they'll be in the arms of another. Apart from the enforced separation, the couples also face a number of other challenges. Not only are they constantly surrounded by available and desirable singles on a mission to tempt them, but they must also go on romantic dates with them too. Do you hear the absence of any healthy boundaries in all of this? Basically, we're taking 2 people and a couple and putting them in a spot where they will be tempted to the limit, so to speak. And I'm just saying that that's pretty much kind of the culture that we live in. The idea of healthy boundaries and keeping yourself in a safe situation is pretty much kind of gone out there, and there's not much of that. No boundary on the internet. Any child who knows how to click a mouse can find pretty much any level of sexual content that they could possibly stumble across, and there is no boundary other than sometimes they might have to click a button that says, I am 18 years old. Now, please tell me the 11-year-old who, in the middle of this, with no warning and no education and nobody has taught them how to handle the moment, they stumble across one of these sites, what 11-year-old is not likely to say, yes, I'm 18? It's not like clicking that button is a real big boundary. It is easier to get into a porn site than it is to open a door. Not even locked. No commitment. Here's a book, The Happy Hookup. Terms in our culture that we use to refer to this idea of who cares about the commitment. The word hookup, you know, hooking up, it's just a no expectation, no commitment. We're just having sex. Talked to one guy, ministry intern for a summer, and he said, you know, having sex, you know, hooking up, it's just like going for a jog. I mean, it's like in the morning, I put on my shoes and my shorts and I go out and I go for a run. Having sex with a girl is no different than that. It's just an exercise. It's just something that you do. Now that's his opinion. I'm not saying I would agree with that. I'm saying that is a 20-year-old in our culture, their idea of what sex really is. Casual sex. Nothing big about it. Nothing special. It's just kind of a casual thing. Friends with benefits. We're friends, but then there are some benefits that we enjoy from a sexual standpoint. But we're not dating. We're not boyfriend or girlfriend. There's not a commitment here. It's just a benefit of our friendship. I had one guy I worked with, 17-year-old client, who was absolutely trying to convince me that all the benefit was to the girl. I do this for her benefit. I don't really get anything out of it. We had to kind of push through some denial at that point. But again, that's a whole other story. Casual sex. These types of attachments. Now again, this is coming from a kind of a learned authority from a cultural standpoint. Okay, real sex for real women. Like there's some kind of women that aren't real. That's a whole other issue. It's okay to laugh once. You can pretend that they're funny, even if they're not funny. It's not. These types of attachments can be temporarily fulfilling. Now, again, temporary and fulfilling to me is an oxymoron. How can something be fulfilling, but it's only temporarily fulfilling? But that's a whole other question, too. They are often based on sexual gratification. Think one-night stands. With the right precautions, casual encounters can be a satisfying part of a woman's sexual journey. Casual encounters may not be the place to find love, but they can help you hone your sexual prowess. Now again, I'm just saying from a culture standpoint, that's what our culture is telling us. That's the mindset that is teaching our kids or that has taught us whatever, you know, we've learned if nobody else has been telling us anything.
Do you like her?
I can't date her. She's my oldest friend.
We're having sex.
I know.
Did you have sex with Emma?
No. Yes.
Wow.
I'm a doctor. I work 80 hours a week. I need someone who's going to be in my bed at 2 a.m. who I don't have to eat breakfast with.
I hate breakfast.
Good.
That's from Emma. Where are you?
You want to come back strong here. Like, where am I? Why don't you check your underpants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't write that.
Maybe we should establish ground rules. No lying. No jealousy. Don't list me as your emergency contact. I won't come.
Don't ask me what I think about your body.
Deal.
I can't focus on my porn with all this real sex going on around me.
You probably shouldn't snuggle.
Yeah. That just felt wrong.
I think I'm falling for her.
That's a horrible idea. You're living every guy's dream right now. Why would you mess that up?
I really like you.
You always find these perfect guys, and then you're like, it'll never work. I think monogamy goes against our basic biology.
Now, there are so many messages in that. We could spend a half hour just unpacking everything culture tells us about sex in that 1 minute. Just an example. I can't focus on my porn with all the real sex going on out here. Now, again, we'll talk about the whole pornography struggle in the afternoon session, looking at this whole idea of addiction or the strongholds. But just to give you a window of insight, 70% of males, Churches of Christ males, 19 to 29, 70% say, and this was a large survey, about 4,000, 5,000 respondents, 70% of males ages 19 to 29 among Churches of Christ say that pornography represents a serious struggle for them. So again, if you're thinking, yeah, there might be a couple of people who struggle with pornography, and that's just men, that's not even talking yet about females, the whole pornography issue is a huge issue that is facing not just our teens, but our adults as well. Again, the idea behind this particular movie is, can you be just a casual friend and have a sexual relationship, but it not go any further than that? And I haven't seen the movie, so I can't speak to where the movie goes, but just watching the trailer, it sure looks to me like where they go with that story is, you know, that's really not very easy to do. And again, I'm assuming kind of where the movie goes at the end. I haven't seen it. My hunch would be that they get to the end and you find out, you know, you really can't have a sexual relationship and then keep all the emotions out of that. And again, that's assuming that watching the trailer takes me to where the story goes. But I would say that there's certainly a lot of evidence just in what we saw right there that, yeah, we're not designed to have sex, but not have an emotional connection in there and not expect anything in the process. But that's what our culture holds up as, did you catch? You're living every man's dream. Well, I would argue that's certainly not every man's dream, but there's a cultural belief. That's what guys want. Guys just want sex with no relationship. Again, I'm not saying that's accurate. I'm saying that's what our culture tells us guys are supposed to want. Focus on self. In our culture, sex is all about what pleases me. From the movie Hitch.
Have you ever met someone and you knew right away she's going to be important to you? Not just because of her looks, but, you know, that X factor.
How'd you meet her?
Actually, I was in a shop buying pajamas for my mom.
And by that, of course, you mean you were buying lingerie for another woman.
Yes. You can't help when you meet somebody. The lingerie is for a woman I'm no longer seeing. Oh, so, but anyway, the girl I met, the one I was talking about, she's so sweet, funny, southern. She gives me a number. Now, she won't return my phone calls. I don't know what it is about her. I just can't get her out of my mind. You know, food has lost its taste. Colors, you know, they seem dull. Things that used to matter, I don't know, they just no longer do. I think things aren't going to snap back unless I bang her.
Excuse me?
You know, bang her. Clear my head. Get in, get off, get out.
And your response might be about like Will Smith's character right here. What? Perspective. This guy's perspective is it's all about me. It's selfish. What makes me feel good? What makes me happy? I don't care what effect it has on this other person. I don't care what it does to her. I don't care how she's left feeling when we're finished. Not a concern to me at all. It's all about what makes me feel good in the moment. And I would say that is definitely our culture. I was walking through the airport in, not that it matters, in Baltimore several years ago. And again, every once in a while, I'll stop in, look at kind of the newsstand. Okay, what's going on in our culture, in the media? What's happening? And there was an article on front of, I'm not sure if it was Men's Health. It was one of the men's fitness, quote unquote, magazines. And the article title was 5 Ways to Get Her in Bed and Out the Next Morning. And the basic concept was, here are 5 lines, 5 pickup lines. The idea is, what can I say to this woman to get her to have sex with me that night, but then the next morning I want her out of my life? I don't want any kind of emotional expectation, connection. It's just a one-night stand. Sex in our culture is all focused on how it makes me feel. I'm going to fast forward through a couple of spots just because we've only got about 5 minutes. And what I want to do is now look at the results. What can I expect from this? If this is what sex in our culture, if this is what I choose to do, okay, what are the consequences or what path does that take me down? Number one, I would argue that gives us a very watered down experience. Now, I have in here a can. It really is Diet Dr. Pepper. Who likes Diet Dr. Pepper? You have any Diet Dr. Pepper fans? Your hand waved. Would you come up and help me out for just a second? It's nice and cold. It's been on ice. I'm going to put that in your hands. It's yours. Okay, hold on. Let me take a piece of ice here and get it out of the way. Now, if you would walk over here with me for a second, I've still got the piece of ice right here that fell on the floor. So we've got the nice, clean ice right here. Let me load my cup up. Now, here's the only restriction that I'm going to make on your can of Diet Dr. Pepper. It is yours. I don't want it back, but you cannot drink it. What is this, Sunday, Monday? You cannot have it until Wednesday. Are you willing to abide by Okay, so Wednesday it's yours. You can popular drink it, but not until then. Now, do you like yours cold or warm?
Cold.
Okay, and most people do. Most people like soft drinks with ice. So I've got a big, huge cup here that will hold that whole container, and it's filled with ice. So with your permission, I'll go ahead and take this and pour it in here. And then on Wednesday, because it's iced down, it'll be nice and cold Wednesday, and you can have it. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with me doing that? Okay. Now, if I do that, what will it taste like on Wednesday when you drink it?
Not very good.
But you're okay with me doing that. Now, I'm confused.
Well, it's your, okay, it's mine, isn't it?
Yeah, it is yours.
Well, I would rather drink it out of the can.
Gotcha. Because
it would water it down.
Okay, water it down. Yeah. If I pour that in here and then give that to you until Wednesday, you know, no matter how thermal this cup is, on Wednesday that ice isn't going to be ice anymore. It's going to have melted, so it may not actually even be cold by Wednesday, but that's going to taste way different than it would if you just keep it in the can. How many of you agree with him? Keep it in the can. Don't put it in. I'm seeing a lot of head shaking. A couple of hands are up. But yeah, the general consensus seems to be, yep, good choice. I'd agree with you. So the can is yours. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help. Give him a hand. Wise choice. I'll just hold on to it and keep it in the can. Thank you. Yes, because if you don't, you're going to have a watered down experience. From a sexual, you can learn a lot about sex from a can of Diet Dr. Pepper. In that, it will be a watered down experience. If I don't, follow the metaphor with me here, okay? If I don't keep it in the can, but I go ahead and get it out and use it, then when I finally get into that lifelong relationship, i.e., marriage, this is the one that I'm going to grow old with this person. When I get into that relationship, my experience sexually in that relationship is going to be very watered down compared to what it would have been if I had kept it in the can until the time came to drink of it, to use a proverb metaphor, to drink of it in the right relationship. So, number one, I think it gives us a very watered down. Number two, it doesn't make for a very lasting fulfillment.
I don't believe in ghost stories anymore, Captain Barbosa.
From Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's exactly what I thought when we were first told the tale. Buried on an island of dead, what cannot be found, except for those who know where it is. We find it, we're dead. There'll be the chest. Inside be the gold. We took them all. We spent them and traded them and frittered them away. Drink and food, pleasurable company. The more we gave them away, the more we came to realize the drink would not satisfy. Food turned to ash in our mouths. And all the pleasurable company in the world could not slake our lust. We've accursed men, Miss Turner.
Look! The moonlight shows us for what we really are. We are not among the living, and so we cannot die. But neither are we dead. For too long I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it. Too long I've been starving to death and haven't died. I feel nothing. Not the wind on my face, nor the spray of the sea.
You best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Turner. You're in one.
I can't think of any better visual to where sex takes our culture than that right there. It is a culture of people who are thirsting, craving something. They think they know what it is, but they're so wrong. And it doesn't matter how much of it they have, how much sex, what kind of sex, who it's with. All the variation and the variety and chasing one person to the next, and they're still starving for something. It's like the more they have, the less fulfilled they get. It's just like that wine going right through the guy. It's never enough. I had the opportunity, we're going to wrap up with this point right here just because of time and we need to stop. I had an opportunity to facilitate about a 13-week group on sexual integrity with a group of guys ages 18 to about 25. Half of them were ministry students. The other half were armed forces guys. Talk about two different backgrounds, you know, stereotype. What we found out is sexually, their backgrounds weren't all that different. Because a lot of the guys in the military and a lot of the guys in the ministry had some very similar backgrounds. One of the guys, it was the older guy, older meaning about 24, 25, said, you know, I have no idea how many women I've had sex with. I cannot count. But to be honest with you, it is never enough. And I'm just saying that that is, in all reality, that is where sex takes us. If we follow the path the world says this is how to do it, one of the results is no fulfillment. It's an endless, endless pursuit. Thank you guys for being in here this morning. As I said, it's a very honest, a very raw look. And believe me, this is tame compared to what we could have cited. This is very tame. I hope that at least it helps you recognize, okay, here's where culture, here's what Satan's vision, this is what, looking at it in a real way, this is what it is. Do I want that? And then to be able to compare what God says about it, we'll talk about Tuesday night, and say, okay, here's one, here's the other, which one do I want to pursue? Tonight, the 5 o'clock session, Holly and I are going to present together. It's on building deeper relationship. It is not a couples workshop. It is a how do I take a friendship, whether it's a marriage relationship, a dating relationship, a good friend, how do we take that relationship and make it a deeper, more meaningful relationship? So I hope that you'll come and enjoy kind of looking at how do I enhance a relationship on a more intimate, emotional level. Thank you guys for your attention, and we'll see you in just a couple minutes.